outside, and he said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all the things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and mistreated and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him, and the third day he will rise again." They understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them, and they did not comprehend the things that he said. There is no doubt that Jesus certainly is the centerpiece of the New Testament. But there is absolutely no doubt that the Old Testament points to Christ throughout. The writer of the book of Hebrews calls it a foreshadowing of the coming Messiah. And it is apparent by the some 300 prophecies concerning the coming Redeemer that he not only was on the mind of God throughout the Old Testament, but as the prophets as well. For the sake of time, we'll only look at a few of these prophecies, but it's only fitting that in Genesis 3:15 that God made the first prophecy concerning the coming Messiah. And he said, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise you on the head, and you will bruise him, he will bruise you on the heel, and you will bruise him on the head." The psalmist wrote in Psalm 22:11-18, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They have opened their mouths at me as a raving and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaves to my jaws. Thou dost lay me in the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers have encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them. For my clothing they cast lots." In Isaiah 53:1-12 says, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one of whom men hide their face, he was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb he was led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shears, he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for this generation who considered that he was cut off from out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people to whom the stroke was due, his grave was assigned with wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit found in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offering. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. And by his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sins of many and interceded for the transgressors. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion, shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And Job 19:23-27 says, "Oh, that my words were written, oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that with an iron stylus and lead, that they were engraved on the rock forever. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take the stand on the earth, and after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I will see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes shall see, not another. My heart faints within me. If you say, how shall we persecute him? And what pretext for case against him we shall find? Then be afraid of the sword for yourselves, for the wrath brings punishment of the sword, so that you may know there is judgment." The likelihood and mathematical probability that Jesus would fulfill just one of these prophecies is absolutely astounding. One would think almost impossible, let alone for him to fulfill each and every one of these. But as the angel Gabriel told Mary in Luke 1, nothing is impossible for God. The word impossible is not even in God's vocabulary. Like a master painter who, with each brush stroke, one more clue to what he is painting will be revealed, with the final brush stroke being the resurrection, the masterpiece is complete, the Messiah is revealed. Going back to our original text, he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all the things that are written concerning the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished." Jesus' last words, according to John 19:30, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Our Father and gracious Lord, we thank you, God, so much for this time that we can meet around your Son's table, Lord, and just think about that amazing sacrifice, Lord, that you gave your only begotten Son for us, Lord, to come to this earth, to live amongst us, to be tempted as each and every one of us, but yet to not sin. But yet he suffered the cruel death that a sinner deserves, Lord, and went to that cross and bore our sins. He bore my sins. But yet on that third day, Lord, you rose him from the dead, fulfilling each one of these things which you said would happen, Lord. And just please, God, help us. Help us to think on these things. Help us to think of good things, Lord. Help us to not partake of these emblems in an unworthy manner. And just please, Lord God, forgive us for when we sin and fall short. In Jesus' name, amen.